It's hour number two of Midday with Trey and BK. Wrap it up at 12:45 with our weekend football picks. And shooting the bull at 12:30, the Big 12 basketball coaches ranked where they think everyone in the conference, including Texas, will finish in the standings at the end of the season. And Amir Menis talking Dallas Cowboys and a little bit of Texas-Kansas with Ari Temkin. I'm Trey Elling. Brad Kellner is across from me. Adam Wagner behind the glass. You can text us at 337-3776. That is the Specs text line. And give us a follow on Twitter at reallysickguy, at notthefakewags, at courtesywave, and at Ari Sports. That's the handle of our next guest. He is Ari Temkin of the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network on 105.3 The Fan, Big 12 This Morning on SiriusXM Channel 375, and these airwaves, not only before, during, and after Cowboys games, but also usually every Tuesday at noon to help us break down what's going on with the team up in Big D. Ari, thank you for the time as always. How you doing today?
Of course, Trey. How's it going, man?
Everything is going well for me. Unfortunately, my broadcast partner is pretty under the weather right now.
Oh, we're good, man. We got a Sukkot hangover. We got a Sukkot hangover or something, Ari. I think that's what we're blaming it on.
Nobody knows what Sukkot is, Brad. Come on. I mean, know what Hanukkah is at this point.
Yeah, Trey is calling it suck it.
Suck it.
A lot of the Gentiles around our office call it suck it. That's what I have to deal with on a daily basis, man. It's not right. It's offensive.
I'm filing a claim with my kids' preschool. This is like a full month. I have to pay a full month. But they're off like twice every week. This whole month, they're off like two times a week. It's like, what are these? I don't even heard these holidays. Some of them, like what? Heard of most of them, not all of them. It's ridiculous. Half off for the month of October moving forward at this Jewish preschool.
We are talking about Jewish preschool here. You're not getting half off of anything, my man. You know that.
He said it. He said it, not me. Ari, can we blame Sukkot or Sukkot for the Cowboys' continued struggles on offense? They reared their ugly head again this last weekend versus the New York Jets up in New Jersey.
Yeah. Blame Sukkot. You can blame the offensive coordinator. You can blame the defensive coordinator. You can blame the injuries. You can blame, I mean, anybody, but you can't blame the head coach. It's not his fault. He's just there. He's not doing anything. I made kind of a satirical video on that because, I mean, it's just like what we've talked about this now for a year and a half, guys. This offense needs to be innovative. It needs to be new. It needs to have RPOs. It needs to have play action. It needs to have, you know, balls going down the field. It needs to not be running the football so much. And for 3 weeks, that's what it did. I don't care who they were playing. I know that they were playing bad teams. I don't care. They ran a ton of play action 40% of the time. They were number one in the NFL in running play action. They ran a lot of RPO. They were throwing the ball down the field. They weren't running as much, especially early on. They were using the pass to open up the run. For some reason, after three games, they just went completely back to what they were last year. And I thought we were blaming Scott Linehan for that. I thought that was Scott Linehan's fault. But I don't know who else to blame other than the guy with the red hair who's been here for 10 years and seems to be completely sabotaging all of the success on offense that they had. Again, I don't care if they played bad teams. You could sit there and say, well, they beat up on bad teams. Yeah, they just played the Jets last week and lost with a bad offense. It has nothing to do with that. It's everything that they did in terms of 40% play action is now down to less than 20%. They are not running RPO. They're not moving the ball down the field, and they are a power run downhill team. They were running the football in the fourth quarter, down two scores. What are you doing? This is all Jason Garrett. His fingerprints are all over this. Other than that, I don't know how else to characterize this absurd downfall of the Cowboys. And look, I get it. Garrett's on his last leg. This is it for him. He's not going to trust his fate to a 30-year-old first-time play caller. I get it. But he's going to write his own check in terms of his end in Dallas.
Ari Temkin, the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network, 105.3 The Fan in Big D, joining Midday with Trey and BK on the horn. I mean, Ari, this seems like a ridiculous question to pose, but we've been talking about it here on this show. Is there a chance, like, after the first 3 weeks of the season, Jason Garrett went to Kellen Moore and was like, yeah, all this play action, all this throwing on first down, all this new age stuff, it's cute, but come on, man, let's go back to pounding the rock. Let's go back to smash mouth, Dallas Cowboys, Jason Garrett football. Is there a chance, like, a conversation like that happened? Like, I don't know how else to explain why the Cowboys went from innovative to back to Scott Linehan-esque offense so quick.
Yeah, look, I think it's dressed up under the guise of Zeke Elliott installed a training camp. So, you know, you want to ease him back in. So, you know, you maybe have less of the control over the offense. And, you know, and then 3 weeks in, all of a sudden, you see the same kind of style, same kind of offense, and it's not looking great. But Zeke is fully, you know, he's fully back. He's back up to speed. And, you know, so I think there's a conversation that happens between those two guys every week. And I'm every Thursday I go to the Star. That's when the coordinators talk. So I'm gonna ask Kellen Moore what changed. Why you go from 40% play action to 20%. You know, play action works. It works. Doesn't matter if you're running the football effectively or not, it works. So why run it basically half the same amount of time with an offense that's clearly not putting up as many points? So it'd be interesting to see how he dodges that question. But yeah, I mean, I think they meet every week. They put together game plans. I think after a couple of weeks, Jason Garrett probably felt like, hey, Zeke Elliott's back to has his legs under him, and you know, he's good to go. And so now let's ride Zeke. And you know, it's not just that this is a losing proposition in terms of schematics. It's also Zeke's not as good, guys. He's not making people miss the same level that he was before. He doesn't have that same speed he had. He wasn't ever a speedster, but man, he can really take one to the house, especially early on in his career. So he's not the same player either. He's forced like 4 missed tackles in the year. Kind of trust those metrics, which is just, I mean, if you're playing Texas every week, it'd be different.
Easy.
He's just not forcing missed tackles. He's not the same player. So I just don't know how you look at the first 3 weeks, these last 3 weeks, if you're Jason Garrett, and not be like, wait, maybe this isn't the best idea. Like, I don't know. I just don't know how you can live in reality and not feel like what he's doing right now is a losing game.
The Jets did do a really good job of attacking a depleted Cowboys offensive line, and they hit Dak Prescott a lot on the afternoon. I think they only were credited with 1 official sack, but it seemed like they were in his face just about every passing play. How much do you have to factor in the idea that they have been without their starting 2 tackles over the last couple of games now?
No, that's part of it. And look, Amari Cooper is a huge piece. Remember what this offense was last year without Amari Cooper, and he basically played 1 offensive snap,
yeah,
and then was removed from the game. So, I mean, look, it's hard not to look at it, but, I mean, the Cowboys lost the Saints without Drew Brees. I mean, that's a pretty good excuse for the Saints. Saints are 4-0 with Teddy Bridgewater.
Yep.
The Packers beat the Cowboys and had a really good offense. Packers put 31 in the first half in the Cowboys without their best receiver. So, I mean, they've got Alan Lazard catching touchdown passes for them, who hadn't caught a touchdown pass since Iowa State. So, like, you just got to make it work, you know? And he's just the excuse coach. That's what he is. He's the coach of excuses, which is why I made the video that I made not blaming Garrett, because how can you blame Garrett when all these other things are going on? You have to be able to win games. And it's nonsensical to – like, if you don't have an offensive line, run RPO. That would nullify your offensive line. If you don't have a good offensive line, don't run the ball 30 times in this game. Don't run the ball down 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Like, that's it. They're not even using a strategy that makes sense considering the injuries. So, you know, I know we'll get to this later, but it's a little bit like Kansas's offense, and Kansas finally made the switch over to Brent Bierman after, you know, a couple of weeks. But it's like, this works. You've seen it work. Why aren't we sticking with this as opposed to this older offense that's clearly not working?
Ari Temkin, the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, joining midday with Trey and BK on the horn. All right, Ari, what about the defense, man? I mean, the offense obviously has its problems, but the defense, especially over the last 2 weeks, they gave up a 30 rack to the Packers without Devontae Adams. And then this past week, the New York Jets came into the game with 2 offensive touchdowns all season, and the Cowboys gave up 3 in the first half to the Jets. What is going on with the Dallas Cowboys defense right now?
Yeah, and the Jets, I mean, that's not even like scratching the surface. They were 32nd in the NFL, dead last in total yards. They were 31st in the NFL in scoring. They had 39 points coming into that game. They were 32nd in the NFL in rushing, 31st. With Le'Veon Bell, they were 32nd in the NFL in rushing.
Wow.
31st in passing. Like, they were just atrocious. And obviously, they're going to improve with Sam Darnold, but not that much. This defense isn't good. It's not nearly close to expectation. I think a lot of blame falls on DeMarcus Lawrence. I think that's misplaced. You know, has he been great? No, but I think the biggest issue has been their defensive tackle position and the linebackers. Leighton Vander Esch and Jalen Smith, who they counted on a big way last year, have just not been good. And, you know, we talked about this last week, I think, but, I mean, the offensive coordinators have figured out how to take advantage of those guys. Those guys dominated through basically the first three quarters of the season last year, and somebody figured out something, and the Cowboys haven't. They haven't done anything to combat that. So, you know, look, they need more out of their defense. And I know a lot of people are using injuries and defense as an excuse, but this is 2019. Offenses are going to put tons of points on the board. As we talked about, you have to win on offense. You have to. You know, the top four offenses were the four teams left standing last year. The top four defenses were home. Good offense is beating good defense. So, I mean, yeah, you want to be able to count your defense in certain situations, in certain games, obviously. You're not going to score 35 points every week, but you have to put yourself in a position to score 30 points a week. The Cowboys did that the first three games. They're not doing that the last three games.
The NFL trade deadline is just 12 days away now. Do you think Dallas makes a move sometime in the next little bit less than 2 weeks?
No. No, I don't. I think, you know, first, I think it's definitely a seller's market, you know, midseason. I mean, Jalen Ramsey commanded more than Khalil Mack got. That doesn't make any – what world does that make sense? So I don't think the Cowboys – first of all, the Cowboys have tons of value in their own players. The Cowboys have a lot of talent. You know, like, that's the thing is this roster performing at this level is a product of their coach. I can't – it cannot be more obvious or glaring. It's finally like this is it. And he's not going to get fired midseason unless this thing goes really haywire. But this is going to be the end of Jason Garrett in Dallas. And I think the Jets game, if we're being honest, was the beginning of the end of Jason Garrett. Mm.
And it was so telling seeing that video after the defense made the big stop that they did to get the ball back for the offense at the end of the game, where Jason Garrett takes a couple steps onto the field to try and greet those guys and give them fives, and they just ignored him. That was embarrassing for him.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing imagery. And I think sometimes we can pick and choose those kinds of things, the aesthetics, like, you know, the old cliche of, like, you see Tom Brady doing that too. Like, you know, you see Tom Brady yelling at teammates and it's good leadership, and you see Jay Cutler doing it and he's a loser, which is both those things are true. But, you know what I mean? Like, I think sometimes we put too much into that, but yeah, I mean, that was while also simultaneously saying, like, that was pretty stunning and pretty obvious. It was right there, plain color for everybody to see.
All right, last Cowboys question before we transition to Texas and Kansas coming up on Saturday at DKR. Eagles, Sunday Night Football. You know, Philly's also 3-3. These two teams tied atop the NFC East right now. Eagles coming off of a shellacking at the hands of the Minnesota Vikings. But you have any confidence for the Cowboys? Dallas is 2.5 to 3-point favorites at home. Do you think the Cowboys can get back on track before the bye week, or do you think Dallas loses its fourth straight?
I don't have the number in front of me, but have you ever seen Garrett at home as a home favorite? It's not a good number. So that doesn't mean they're going to lose. Actually, it does, doesn't it? It doesn't mean they're going to lose. but it's, I mean, look, I think the Eagles have a really bad and banged up secondary. I mean, Orlando Scandrick was cast off of the Cowboys and not good years ago, and now he's resurfaced with the Eagles. That kind of gives you an idea of where they are. And if you've watched the Eagles last couple of weeks, they're very bad in their secondary. So I think obviously for Jason Garrett, that means he's got to pound the rock, run the football 30 times with Zeke Elliott. That's a winning game against this front with a banged up and bad secondary. I think that's what he's got to do, obviously.
Switching over to college football now, Ari, you are a Kansas alum. What can Longhorn fans expect out of the Jayhawks this Saturday night at DKR?
Okay, so I'm going to start by saying Kansas is not going to win this game. I don't even think they're going to cover the 21 points. But
Always a but.
Over the bye week, the Jayhawks, Les Miles, made the move to fire offensive coordinator Les Koenig. This is now the third offensive coordinator that Les Miles has had, because he initially hired a OC whose name's escaped me right now, who after being hired then got hired as the Troy head coach.
Yeah, Chip Lindsey.
Thank you, Chip Lindsey. Yeah, so he's the first OC. He leaves for Troy, which obviously he would. and then they bring in Koenig. And I, you know, look, they brought in Brent Dearman, who is a, you know, he was an NAIA head coach at Bethel College in Tennessee. He worked at Arkansas Tech as an offensive coordinator and was hired as an offensive assistant, or whatever they want to call him now, like not a coordinator, but a guy that was coming in to help out offensively. He's the guy that wrote the book on the RPO. That's the thing about him, is he's, you know, he put together just absurdly good offenses with the RPO at Bethel College. And, you know, and so he was on staff, but not given the full reins as the coordinator. And look, early on the season, they were running that same old Les Miles, same thing we're talking about here, the downhill power football, which, like, in the NFL, you're better off running it than in college at Kansas. I mean, that was what got Les Miles fired at LSU, was that pro style offense that wasn't evolving.
Yep.
And the whole question for Les was, is he going to evolve offensively with Kansas? And the early answer was no, he's not. It's going to be the same BS downhill offense that we saw with really bad athletes. And so they score 6 points at home against Coastal Carolina, and then they go to Boston College and they do this full on RPO stuff. They're, I mean, and Carter Stanley, the quarterback, is perfect at executing it. They put 48 points on the board. It was incredible. It was like magic. And then they go right back to the same. It's like the Cowboys. It's like, what are you doing? It's working. Why would you do this? You don't have athletes. You're Kansas. You have athletes at the Division II level right now, literally. And so finally, Les made the move to fire Koenig and make Dearman the offensive coordinator. So they should be much better, especially offensively. Because Carter Stanley, when we saw him at Boston College, is putting points on the board, and they have, I mean, Puka Williams would be the starting running back at Texas right now, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
So, you know, they've got pieces. Again, I'm picking Texas minus 21, but this should be a much, much, much more competitive team.
There he is, Ari Temkin of the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network on 105.3 The Fan. Big 12 this morning on Sirius XM Channel 375, and a guy who appears on this program normally Tuesdays at noon. This week it's on Thursday because he had something going on Tuesday. No biggie. We'll talk to him here again in a couple of days after the Cowboys snap that three-game losing streak and beat the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday night. Ari, thank you as always for the time.
Hey, Ari, was Snoop Dogg at your Sukkot party dressed up in KU gear earlier this week?
Yeah, but I told him to tone it down. I said, hey, I know you're Snoop Dogg. Can you just tone it down a little bit? But, yeah, I mean, Snoop Dogg, if there were any Jewish holiday that Snoop Dogg would get down with, it would be Sukkot, which is the holiday that celebrates the earth and the environment and smoking trees, you know?
He calls it Sukkizzle. Sukkizzle.
Oh, boy. All right, on that note, Ari, luckily for you, you don't have to listen to Trey any longer. I still have like an hour left, man. Thanks for the time, brother. We'll talk soon.
Later, guys.
Later, Ari.
There he goes, Ari Temkin, the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. Also, Sirius XM Channel 375. He hosts Big 12 this morning. And, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Kansas brings to the table offensively on Saturday. You know, I mentioned yesterday, Brent Dearman, the new OC of the Jayhawks, was a head coach at Bethel College, an NAIA program last year. But Bethel put up 55 points per game last year.
Okay.
The highest scoring offense, not just in NAIA, but at any level of college football.
Here we go
Bethel
again.
Bethel University.
So you tell me
or
to take
Bethel
the
College. I'm not even sure. The KU website has says Bethel University one place and Bethel College the other place.
So should I take Texas with the points or should I take the over?
Maybe the over. With this Texas defense right now.
Although OU didn't go over last weekend, so I'm not sure what to expect.
How about this? Don't bet on Texas football, like I always tell you.
that's a good general rule of thumb.
Yes, absolutely. All right, good stuff there from Ari Temkin. We appreciate his time. We've got some local sports news. A former Dallas Cowboy was arrested in the state of Texas a couple of days ago. A former Texas Ranger manager might have found himself a new job.
Wash.
Hide your Coke, and
The Big 12 coaches have projected where they think the Longhorns are going to finish in college basketball in 2019-2020. We'll tell you where they pick the Horns next.
Back here on Midday with Trey and BK, Wags said in our ear prior to this segment getting going and him playing this song that he really hates this band. I recognize the song. I don't remember the name of the band, though. Who is this?
Puddle of Mud.
That's right.
Can you take it all away? That's this song, right?
Yeah. Why are you playing music that you hate, by the way?
I don't know, like Lifehouse came to my mind, a Puddle of Mud, a lot of the songs that my stepsister used to listen to.
What is Lifehouse?
Oh, man, what's that one stupid song?
Yeah,
Desperate for Some Truth.
I think you guys just sang two separate songs right there, gents.
Right. We're coming back to Lifehouse next.
Welcome back to Midday with Trey and BK. Do you have a liner you need to read, my friend?
Yes, visit Chad and Kevin at the Randalls at Breaker and Research today from 3 to 7 for your chance to win UT Kansas tickets. The game is happening this Saturday at DKR. And don't forget, we are upgrading two of the four winners to the Ultimate VIP Fan Experience. Even if you're two of the four that get screwed out of the VIP experience, you're still getting tickets to a football game at DKR,
yeah,
which is exciting. Looks like it's going to be beautiful weather this weekend.
Get to watch the 15th-ranked Longhorns take on Bill Self and the Kansas Jayhawks. Should be a fun one.
Is Snoop going to be performing at Longhorn City Limits this weekend?
Would anyone say no? Would anyone be opposed?
I would not say no.
I'd buy tickets right now.
NCAA is not looking at Texas right now,
it's
so
free.
I think we're okay. Yeah, it's free if it's at LCL. Good call right there. Yeah, Bevo Boulevard gets going at, 1 o'clock on Saturday? 5 hours before kick?
Sure.
Okay, we'll go with that. But the pregame show will start at 2 for Texas
right.
and Kansas. I am confident about that.
Pregame show this week, at least the version at Bevo Boulevard. It's Chad and me.
Ooh. Should have some great ratings for that one.
Didn't have to react like that. I guess who's doing the post?
I'm the Lorax. When it comes to our listeners, I speak for the people. For the listeners.
Guess who's doing the post-game show with you at Pluckers following TCU next week?
Hopefully not you.
Me.
All right. Well, I'm not going to show up. You're going to be on your own, kid. Midday with Trey and BK. We've got a couple of bits to get to, as we always do during our 12:30 segment. It is time to toss it to our man Wags for some Tinder time. Tinder time brought to you by Altstadt Brewery. Altstadt beer is German beer made here, the best beer that you can find in Central Texas. Weekend right around the corner. It's already Thursday, man. Can you believe it? Pick up a six-pack of Altstadt on your way home from work today. No impurities, no regrets.
Week has flown by. Wags, what's the first headline today, please?
To me, those balls are perfect.
To me, those balls are perfect.
All right, Tom Brady, I will swipe right to that.
You better not be tricking us into a soccer story here. Swipe right.
Not soccer. We're going to stay with the Major
League.
Oh, yeah,
this is a sports radio program, so.
Yeah, we can't talk soccer.
Thank you, of course.
I disagree, but we're talking postseason baseball here, gents. The ball was leaving the yard through the regular season of this 2019 MLB campaign at an alarming, at an astronomical clip.
Yeah.
Now, not so much in the postseason. And a lot of people, a lot of the media out there are speculating that the balls could be different. Not so many of the juiced, in air quotations, balls that were in the regular season. Guys, stock into this claim? It does seem a little bit like it, right?
You cannot convince me. Let me rephrase that. Let me change my tense. During the regular season, you could not convince me that the baseballs were not juiced. During the postseason, you cannot convince me that the balls are juiced. They went back to the balls of old, man. They are not using the same balls they used during the regular season. It is clear, it is obvious. I don't know if that's the right decision for Major League Baseball. Now, the MLB has denied claims about using a different baseball in the playoffs versus what they used in the regular season. But if you just watched regular season baseball versus what's happened in the postseason, I know it's getting a little cooler outside, whatever.
Is it elite pitching?
Dude, it's absurd. They are not using the same balls they used in the regular season, and I think that's a not good thing for Major League Baseball, because more people are watching baseball now
right.
than they were in the regular season, because it's the playoffs. Fans want to see home runs. Chicks dig the long ball. We want runs, and Major League Baseball, for some inexplicable reason, is taking that away from us in the postseason.
Yeah, what's been the most exciting playoff baseball game in, we'll say, the last 15 years? I'll go back 15 years. What's been the most exciting playoff baseball game in the last 15 years? That back-and-forth affair between the Dodgers and Astros a couple years ago, we saw, what, close to 20 runs scored in that game. May have been over 20 runs scored. 25 runs scored, something like that, and the ball was flying out of the ballpark. Part of that might have been the Crawford boxes. Makes it a little bit easier for right-handed hitters to poke it out, but there is also the notion that you do try to create more offense for a sport that is desperate to add people who consider the sport to be entirely too boring.
And baseball purists are not happy with that happening during the regular season, but you can't just change the game from the regular season to the playoffs. Like, look at Didi Gregorius's ball off of Garrett Cole in Game 3 that died at the warning track.
There have been a couple.
Like, that is a home run during the regular season, man.
Will Smith had one in the Dodgers series.
There's been a lot of them. Like, and here's a chart. I'm going to retweet this at Brad Kellner right now, but I'll show you. This is the average drag coefficient of baseballs. This is the regular season, and to the right of this red line is the playoffs. There's way more drag on these baseballs. Hmm. Scientific research, which you guys believe
Whoa.
In. I'm not a huge science
yeah.
guy. But science would
yes,
tell
science.
You that the baseballs aren't the same.
This guy just cited science in his argument.
Yeah, I know.
Starting to believe that the ball is still, in fact, juiced and pitching is just much better now.
I believe in the de-evolution of the Major League Baseball
right now.
What about
the claims of the
seams
being
tired?
We're going
back to the dead ball era.
The devolution?
That's what it feels like. Oh, yeah. Devolution. Is that the word?
Not devolution.
De-evolution.
Devolution.
Threw in an extra E in
what
there.
What about the claims to the balls being wound tighter and stuff like that? I mean,
I don't know what it is, but they're doing something different yeah. with the postseason balls that they were doing in the regular season.
Yeah.
That seems clear and obvious.
Yep.
That play would be overturned by Big 12 officials. There's
still
clear,
under review.
Clear and convincing evidence, if you ask me.
Don't get them involved, please.
Yeah, sorry.
We'll
to
just
do
screw
that.
Things up worse.
Yeah, we get two more days without them. I'll enjoy that. All right, midday with Trey and BK. Good stuff, Wags. There is Tinder Time brought to you by Altstat Beard. Let's transition from bit to bit. It is now time to shoot the bull.
Shooting the bull.
Shooting the bull, sponsored by Audio Visual Consultations. Go to avconsultations.com to have Tom McHale cook you up. More importantly, go to texasstars.com to get tickets for this weekend's games up at the HEB Center in Cedar Park. They are taking on an opponent whose name is escaping me. More important than the opponent, though, is the chance for you to participate in the 50-50 raffle with the extra money benefiting the Texas Stars Foundation. They help so many families in need here in Central Texas, and they do that through the money raised with the 50-50 raffle at Texas Stars home games. TexasStars.com for those tickets and to find out more about the Texas Stars Foundation, BK.
I believe that is the Grand Rapids Griffins.
Yep, I was going to go Tucson, and I knew it wasn't Tucson because that was the opening weekend opponent.
All right, Trey, we're going to fit in a couple of stories here relatively quick.
Okay.
We will start with the former Dallas Cowboy who has been arrested, was arrested yesterday in the Prosper area north of the Metroplex.
Was it the guy who went to Oklahoma State?
It was not Joseph Randall.
Joseph Randall.
He's not stealing more cologne and underwear from North Park Mall.
That's good.
He's an XFL player now, if I'm not mistaken.
Interesting
bit. I'll have to look that up. But it is Marion the Barbarian.
Ah.
Marion Barber III was taken into custody by Prosper Police yesterday in connection to a July 2018 incident. He's been arrested on criminal mischief charges, facing up to 1 year in jail and a $4,000 fine. As an incident that took place back in July of 2018. So there you go with Marion Barber. Quick nugget there. Ron Washington might be a manager in Major League Baseball once again, Trey. They're the most successful manager in the history of the Texas
wow.
Rangers Ball Club. He's one of the final two candidates for the San Diego Padres vacancy.
The gift that is A.J. Preller continues to give.
Wash is currently the third base coach for the Atlanta Braves. And Wash is one of the final two candidates for the Padres opening, along with Jace Tingler, who's only 38 years old, about 30 years younger than Wash. Tingler is the player development manager for the Texas Rangers organization right now. So there's some Rangers ties to the Padres organization. A.J. Preller, the former assistant GM, apparently Wash is one of the final two candidates, and there's a strong increasing belief that Ron Washington will be the next skipper of the San Diego Padres.
That would be incredible if Ron Washington managed another big league club. Didn't think that wouldn't happen again.
He's only 67 years old.
Only?
Dude, he looks
That's pretty
97.
Old.
That's the coke, man.
That's the drugs?
Come on, guys.
Dude, he looks old, man.
It's a one-time thing.
I mean, come on, guys. He did the drugs. I didn't do the drugs.
It was a one-time thing.
So was Marion Barry.
Oh, it's always a one-time thing. Always a one-time thing.
It just smelled so good.
Whenever you get in trouble, it's the first time. It's the only time I've ever done it. Roger Clemens, Lance Armstrong, Ryan Braun. That's the only time I ever used steroids, man. I didn't even think I used them. I thought it was something else.
It was an accidental sniff.
Whatever. Accidental sniff of all the white powder that just happened to appear on the table in front of him. And Trey, as we go from story to story, trying to get off of drug talk here on Midday with Trey and BK, the Big 12 college basketball coaches have released its preseason Big 12 projections for 2019-2020. We told you yesterday that the Longhorns have one member on the honorable mention preseason All-Big 12 team. That is Matt Coleman.
The third.
Matt Coleman the third?
Yes.
Matt Coleman the third. Who was the second? Is he the third?
Matt Coleman Jr.?
Matt Coleman, I can't remember. Well, the Longhorns have been pegged to finish fourth in the Big 12 in college basketball in 2019-2020.
After Kansas,
Kansas
who are the
is
other
number
two
one.
Teams?
Baylor, number two. Mm. Texas Tech, of course, the national runner-up. The co-Big 12 champs, they are pegged to finish third.
Not going to bet against them.
No, I feel like you shouldn't. Texas picked fourth. And how about this? So Texas Tech split the Big 12 title with Kansas State last year. The Wildcats picked ninth in the Big 12 conference this year.
They
not getting
lose
a whole lot of love from Bruce Weber.
Well, they lose a lot off of
for Bruce Weber
last year's roster. Is Xavier Sneed still there?
Sneed is still there.
Okay, so
but
he's
Dean
one of the
Wade
few guys.
Is gone.
Dean Wade was a very important piece for that basketball team. We saw
Barry
just how
Brown is gone
down the stretch. Barry Brown gone. I think the point guard is also gone. Stokes,
Kamau Stokes is gone.
I believe he's no longer there. So it's going to be about Sneed, and then also forget his last name, but I'm about to call him Diarrhea.
Cartier Jarre?
Cartier Diarrhea.
I don't think we can call him that, man. I think we can call him Diarrhea. Cartier Jarre.
He's got a really good game.
Yeah.
Despite the last name.
So Texas finished fourth after the NIT championship.
The game is not the last name.
Yeah, you're right. Good call right there, sir. So there you go. They're shooting the bull. A couple of random nuggets for you on a Thursday. It is Midday with Trey and BK. I will not be here tomorrow, so our normal Friday at 12:45 bit becomes the Thursday at 12:45 bit. Our Pick'em contest, the season-long contest, in which the loser has to do a stand-up comedy set. We've got five more games to pick. Three college, two NFL for this weekend's affairs in week eight. That's coming up next.
I promise I only want with you. Back here on Midday with Trey and PK, just mocking.
Who is this?
Some of the worst of early 2000s music.
Death House?
Life House.
Oh, Life House.
Death Apartment. Life House.
Hey, well done. All right, welcome back to Midday with Trey and BK. A lot of 90s music this week for some reason. Apologies to you all for that.
This is early 2000s, isn't it?
Yeah, I think this is the Knox.
Yeah, don't
or
lump
what,
this
what do you
in
call it? The Ots.
The Ots.
With
the
90s. What did you
the
call Knox. It?
I've never heard it the called Ox? That before yesterday, man.
Oh, the Ots.
The Ots.
The Ots. The Knox.
The Knots. Okay. Well, yeah, the Ots. A-U-G-H-T, I believe, is how you spell that one.
I have no idea. All right, Midday with Trey and BK. I will not be here tomorrow. Trey and Wags will be holding down the fort.
Quitting on the show another Friday, BK. Congratulations.
I'm calling in sick tomorrow to
make up for
the last couple of days.
Yeah. Good one coming from you, Wags. Wags is taking off more Fridays than anybody I've ever heard in my entire life.
Just challenging Bucky for the record.
Am I making up another Jewish holiday? The world will never know. At least the Austin Radio Network will never know because I'm the only Jew in this building. I can pull that card whenever I want, and I can't get in trouble for it either.
You're just taking a delayed Sukkot.
There we go. Sure. Delayed Sukkot is what we call it. So what we normally do on Friday has to become our Thursday ender, our season-long pick'em contest, in which we pick five games against the spread, three college, two in the NFL, and a quick look at our season-long standings for our pick'em contest. By the way, the loser has to do a stand-up comedy bit at Cap City or somewhere.
I feel like it should be both losers.
We'll find something for second to last place, but it's not going to be both losers.
Second
man.
To last may need to...
It's also second to first.
Here's the deal. If second to last doesn't have to do stand-up, which I think, if you're not first, you're last, so second place should have to do something equally humiliating, second place should probably have to introduce last place getting up on stage and trying an open mic for 5 minutes.
Okay, I'm down with that.
Okay.
Not an open mic for 5 minutes, just a quick introduction. You gotta go up on stage. You gotta talk for like 2 minutes. You gotta give some intro cracks.
He's already pointing it out. He's got the role.
You introduce Wags.
That's where we're at right
now.
He has
to do 5 minutes.
Yeah, last week, Trey, you were on fire. Well done, sir. 4-1. I was 1-4. Wags 2-3. So our overall season long standings, Trey is in first place, back over 500, 18-17 on the year. I am in second place, 15-20. 2 games up on Wags, who is 13-22.
Come on, Wags.
On our season,
we want to see this guy.
I need the 4-point play.
The triple play. I don't know.
The money ball
that didn't bode too well for me last year.
Way too much math.
All right, fire up the music, please, sir. We'll start with the college games. We'll go to the Pac-12, everyone's favorite conference, where 12th-ranked Oregon is a 2.5-point favorite on the road at number 25 Washington. Oregon, perhaps the Pac-12's last hope to make the college football playoff. This has become a rivalry game in the Pacific Northwest over the last few years. Oregon, a 2.5-point favorite on the road. Trey, we'll let you go first since you are winning, sir.
I think Oregon is starting to buck this trend of not being very good on the road this year because they're so much better on defense. I got the Ducks covering that one.
I think I've got Oregon, too.
Okay.
And this goes against what I usually think. I usually pick Pac-12 teams to choke at all costs, especially when a playoff potential berth is on the line. But Washington, just too inconsistent enough, especially on offense. Oregon's defense has been balling out as of late. I'm taking the Ducks minus the 2.5.
Yeah, they already had the best, arguably the best offensive line, most experienced offensive line. Now that defense is starting to come on strong, too. Give me the Ducks. I don't think 3's enough.
All right. We'll go to the Big 12. Maybe the best game in the Big 12 conference this weekend happens in Stillwater, Oklahoma, where the undefeated and 18th-ranked Baylor Bears coming off of their very fortunate win over Texas Tech and Waco last weekend. They're on the road to take on the Oklahoma State Cowboys. The Pokes, 3.5-point favorites at home. I guess I'll go first here. I'm going to take Oklahoma State.
Oh,
I don't like this pick. 3.5, that hook scares the hell out of me. I'm advising your cousins, I'd say, to buy it down to 3. But I think Baylor's magic runs out a little bit. I think they finally slip up. Oklahoma State's been really good at home this year. I'm going to pick the Cowboys to win this one and cover.
Same here. I'm taking the Pokes, man.
Crap.
Baylor was favored by 3.5?
No, Oklahoma State is favored by 3.5.
Okay. Baylor has played one true road game in conference this year, and they absolutely smashed the Kansas State Wildcats. I thought that would be a closer game. I think Baylor has what it takes on the road this year. I think for whatever reason, the home crowd is actually causing them some problems this year. Baylor wins it outright, so they certainly cover the 3.5.
Wrong team favorite. All right, maybe the game of the weekend in college football, the Saturday night ABC special. Khakis against jeans. Jim Harbaugh and the 16th-ranked Michigan Wolverines on the road in Happy Valley to take on 7th-ranked Penn State. The Nittany Lions undefeated. It's also the whiteout game for PSU. Penn State is a 9-point favorite. That's a lot of points, Wags.
I got to go with the Khakis here, man. That is, like you just said, too many points. 9 points?
Nine points.
Give me Michigan.
Trey.
Oh, God, I don't like this game at all. You said Michigan?
I'm taking Michigan. Give me steak and milk. You know what?
I got to go Penn State here. Penn State has a really good defense. Last time Michigan went up against a really good defense, that
putrid offense looked exactly like what they are. Yeah. On top of that, Michigan's defense has struggled mightily this year. I have Penn State winning by 10 plus.
Yeah, me too. I think Penn State. I think Michigan is 1-19 in their last 20 road games against ranked opponents.
Wow.
And I think they're 5-15 against the line as well. I'm taking Penn State, the wideout. They cover the 9.
Come on, Michigan!
On to Sunday. A couple of big-time divisional matchups. I know it's relatively early in the NFL season, but we've got playoff implications for the two Texas teams. We'll start with the Houston Texans, who are on the road at Indianapolis. The Texans coming off a couple of big-time wins, including their victory last weekend at Arrowhead. They will take on the Indianapolis Colts. I'm not mistaken, winner takes over first place in the AFC South. The Colts are one-point favorites at home. It's basically a pick 'em, Trey. You're first.
I don't know what to think in this game right now. The Colts were off last weekend. That probably does benefit them, and it's hard to predict what the Texans are going to do. You think you have a pulse on this team. Turns out you do not. I think that happens again this week. A lot of people taking the Texans in this one. I think the Colts end up winning it.
Can I pass?
No, this is a tough one.
This is a tough one right here. I'm going to go with Indianapolis as
okay.
well. I think the Texans ultimately win this division. I think they get the rematch game in Houston, but I'm going to go with the home team on Sunday.
Colts
are playing tough. They beat the Chiefs. They got a dynamic offense. I mean,
so do the Texans.
So do the Texans, absolutely. But, yeah, just to keep things
yeah,
a
Colts
little bit...
Yeah, Colts coming off a bye. Yeah, I'm going to Indianapolis. We're all going Indy?
Nope, I'm taking Texans.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Sorry, Texans fans.
This is going to be a big week for this guy.
All right, and finally...
Hits.
Oh, Sunday night, the Eagles, the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys, 3-point favorites at the Death Star Sunday night football. I can't pick the Cowboys to win a football game right now. Are you kidding me? Picking the Eagles, wrong team favorite. Philly wins, unfortunately.
I got Philly as well.
What's the line?
Cowboys minus 3.
Taking the Cowboys.
Whoa! No reasoning?
You're about to start? No, I have no good
reason
for that.
It's either make or break.
It's a total crazy person,
stupid
pick.
Dak Prescott has been very good against the Eagles and against the NFC East in his career. We'll see if he can bounce back. All right, we're out of time. Thank you all for tuning in. The broadcast coming up next from 1 to 3. Chad and Kevin from 3 to 7. Thanks to Patrick Renna and Ari Temkin for joining us. Thanks to all of you for texting and listening throughout the program. For the fantasy sports guru, the Marine, Adam Wagner across the glass. For the Sultan of Cynicism, the Vomit King, Trey Elling across the table. I am BK, and we will be back to get a poppin' same time tomorrow. Until then, let bygones be bygones. You can go and get the hell on. You and your mama. We out of here.